Hello, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk About. I'm Keith.
And I'm Zach.
And together we are hosting this program that is brought to you discussing the, what's it discussing?
We discuss the Word of God.
The Word of God.
New Testament Christianity.
New Testament Christianity. And our faith
as Christians.
That's right. I'm not feeling the best today.
He's a little bit under the weather today.
I am not the sharpest knife in the drawer today, but
I'll bring you out of it. I'll bring you out of it.
We want to welcome you to episode number 28. This is airing on December 1st.
Yep.
Wow. How did we get to December already?
24 days till Christmas.
Not that anybody's counting, right?
I'm counting.
You came in with your Christmas list out. And
that's right here it is.
Okay, turn off the Amazon app and,
let's, I've been Christmas shopping today.
Without leaving your home.
That's right.
But we appreciate you very much as our listeners. We want to remind you of our contact information, the ways that you can get a hold of us. First of all, our Facebook page. We encourage you to go to it.
Like and share.
Like and share our Facebook page. You can find that at
Let's Talk About Christianity, a Christian radio program and podcast.
And our website is
letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And your email is
Keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Actually, that's my email.
And mine is Zach.
Yours is Zach at
letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
Okay, so we're past Black Friday. Hopefully all of you found the bargains and the deals that you wanted.
Doubtful.
I went Christmas shopping for myself. but actually I didn't leave the house. My wife was going and I said, "Hey, I want this." And
I did not go.
And she didn't make me wait till Christmas to get it.
I went shopping on Black Friday, like that Friday night. Does that count as Black Friday?
On Friday night. Oh, the crowds are gone by then. So, rush is over.
I was hoping that I could say that I went Black Friday shopping.
But, yeah, I think I went later on Friday, but I think I was buying NyQuil at that point.
Yeah, I bought groceries, a couple groceries, things like that.
Okay, so as you think about those things that you may have bought, you may have made some purchases where somewhere on the packaging it had three very important words that you may have overlooked a little bit.
Actually, we all overlooked them from time to time.
In your product selection, you may have seen those three words and thought, no big deal.
I got it.
I can handle this. This is no big deal, but some assembly required. And, we've all been there. We have bought things that we thought, no big deal. I can put this together. No big deal. and if you're like some of us, and notice I said us, the instructions are more of a suggestion.
Really just like guidelines that you could follow.
Potentially, you could follow those guidelines.
Right.
But required, no. Assembly required, but the instructions, who's got time for those?
So I always look over the batteries not included. And then I end up having to go back to get batteries after I get home and I've unboxed it and everything.
When my kids were younger, I got pretty good at paying attention to that. And now as they have gotten older, I'm not paying quite so much attention to it. And I bought something the other day and got home and
no batteries.
But
anyway,
some assembly required. And, as we think of that, I hope we realize that Christianity comes with some assembly required. You don't just wake up and poof, you are the perfect Christian. You are living a sinless life. You are knowing everything that you need to know. You are doing everything that you need to do. It doesn't happen that way.
No faithful Christian ever said that.
As much as we wish it were otherwise, It just does not happen that way. And so I want to start out this morning with our verse of encouragement. And, you know, we give this verse of encouragement every week. Actually, I think last week or week before's episode was nothing but one big verse of encouragement. But
you know, and on our Facebook page, we have actually been trying to do a verse of encouragement, a daily verse of encouragement.
Right.
I have been doing.
And that is something that you can check out on our Facebook page. And let me just throw a little disclaimer out with our blog on our website and the Facebook page. We have been slacking a little bit.
I've taken a personal hiatus because finals week.
Finals week is coming up for you. I guess I just have no excuse.
But, you have no excuse whatsoever.
Other than to say there's just lots going on right now. But you know, it was cold this morning.
It was.
Very cold. I think 27 or something like that
frost.
At my house.
Frost.
There was actually frost on my car when I came out of church last night.
Really?
Yes.
Running on mine.
Yeah, there was on the
That's
roof
crazy.
Roof of my car. But yeah, it was, why was I talking about it was cold?
I don't know. It's 27 this morning. It's supposed to be 61.
I don't know.
Today. Are we talking weather today? Is that where we're going with this?
I don't know. I honestly have no idea where I was going with it. But anyway, verse of encouragement, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And you're probably thinking, oh, I know that verse. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Where's the encouragement in that? Well, here is the part that is encouraging. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed.
Hmm.
We can get there. We don't have to be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
We can be ashamed, but
a lot of times, sometimes we are.
Sometimes we are, and there are probably times when we should be,
yes,
and are not as ashamed as we ought to be. But mm-hmm. We can get there. We can do this. You may think that the living of a Christian life is too hard. There's more to it than you are willing to take on, and you may face things that are discouraging to you.
And let's throw a little disclaimer out here. It will be probably the hardest thing that you ever do. It's
absolutely.
Hardest thing, period, in my life. And I would imagine that it's just right there with you as well.
Absolutely. And nobody ever said it was going to be easy. Jesus never said it was going mm-hmm. to be easy. But we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Paul is telling us here in the middle part of this verse. You can get there. You can live the life that you need to live. And I'm throwing this out. I know it wasn't part of our preparation, but Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And, you know, sometimes I like to illustrate it like this. If you... and you know, I don't know how things were growing up in your house, Zach,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, in our house with our children, there were times, you know, they would leave and it became a running joke in our family, but, the kids would be leaving to go on a trip or something
mm-hmm.
like this. And we would tell them two things. Number one, remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you don't want to do that. It didn't matter what that was.
You don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. But the first part, remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what Paul was telling us. Remember who you are. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And Zach, you're involved in a lot of different things right now. You're actually doing some coaching.
Yeah.
I applaud you for that because there are some who are good at it. And then there are the rest of us.
Who are too competitive to be good at it.
Well, you know, for whatever reason, you know, where
right.
I'm not a coach. I don't want to be a coach.
Right.
I don't need to be a coach for whatever reason. But let's put it in this perspective. You're walking into your sports venue with your
mm-hmm.
team, and your team is wearing the school colors.
Right.
While they are wearing those school colors, do you have a higher standard for them while they are representing your team, your school.
Definitely, yeah, and we always tell them that too, and especially when they are actually playing on the court. See, I coach middle school basketball and varsity basketball,
right?
And when they're playing on the court, we have told them, you represent us as coaches, and you represent the school as a whole, and so your behavior on the court dictates what people think and how they present our school, how our school is perceived.
Absolutely, and. So, you know, I like looking at Ephesians 4:1 in that way. We as Christians are wearing Christ's colors.
At all times.
And that's figurative, of course. Right. But at all times, we are wearing the letter jacket. We are wearing the, you know, the mascot.
Right.
You know, the
and
emblem.
Everything
whatever.
That we do, we are representing Christ and our Christianity.
And as Christians and as representatives of Christ on that level, we should be held to a higher standard.
Yes.
And we should be conscious and aware of...
We should hold ourselves to a higher standard.
We should. And, you know, when we think of that, we realize there are some very lofty expectations.
Oh, yes.
So, as we are talking today, let's go back to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Paul says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. We could paraphrase this by saying, some assembly required.
Absolutely.
But we're working on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Christ.
And how do we get to the point where we are a worker who does not be ashamed? We have to be diligent.
And
what does it mean to be diligent?
What does it mean to be diligent? Well, I think, in my perspective, diligence is a multifaceted word. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got awareness, number one.
Yes. You have to be aware of yourself and what other people are perceiving about you.
Right. You've got to be aware of where you are at all times and what is going on around you at all times, and then consider those perceptions that you are... Mm-hmm. that you are giving to others. It requires your full attention. You know, you've got to have awareness. You've got to have attention and your full attention. And I know I mentioned it's probably been 20 episodes ago. I mentioned some statistics about texting while driving and mm-hmm. things of that nature. Well, good news. I don't remember all of those numbers today, but I know it's bad because your full attention is not on the task at hand. I was following a guy into town a few minutes ago and he was on his phone. I could see him holding his phone up to his ear and had the flashing yellow turn light, and he just stops. There is not another car in sight, but he was so distracted talking on the phone that, you know, he didn't realize that he could go. And of course, I'm sitting there going, "What are you doing, buddy? You
know, go. I got to go places today."
But you know, it requires our full attention. Are we giving our attention?
I think, in my opinion, it speaks to dedication.
It does. It does. That unfortunately doesn't fit in with my little outline here.
Right.
Because I was alliterating this, actually. Oh, you got to have awareness. You got to have attention. Diligence requires action.
It does. It does require action.
You like the way I alliterated that?
Yeah.
I get
where you're going now.
You got to have action. And the action... You know, you can be aware of what's going on around you. Mm-hmm. You can be paying attention, but if you are not acting accordingly, diligence requires hard work. Diligence requires giving your all to whatever it is. And, you know, excuse me, a lot of times we think of what we can be doing in the church, and sometimes we talk about those things that are more public in their nature. They are, you know, more in the spotlight, as it were. And then there are other times when there are jobs that are, if I can say this, less glamorous, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as we think of those things that we can be doing within service to the kingdom of God, whatever it is, we need to be giving it our all. And here Paul was talking about us. He's talking about us working on us and that some assembly required. You know what? I know that we, and you and I both admit it, we don't always pay attention to the directions as we should.
Oh, definitely not, no.
As a matter of fact, I was complaining last week that one of our microphones wasn't working the way that that I thought that it should. Well, come to find out, I hadn't plugged it in. You know what? Come to think about it right now, I don't think I ever turned that microphone on. It probably worked better if I were to turn it on.
I don't do good with directions or instructions. And I don't know. I think it's just because, you know, I think of it as, oh, well, okay. Thanks for the guidelines, guys, but I got this.
I got this.
I got it.
I got this. So what happens when we don't follow the instructions of Christ?
I'll give you a prime example.
A prime example. Go ahead. Okay, but before you give that example, right, let me give a little disclaimer here that I am not throwing you under the bus on radio.
Which usually means that you're going to throw me under the bus, right?
No. I'm not. This you're okay. You're the one who wanted to tell this story.
I'll tell this story.
Now let me say this. I threw you under the bus, which led up to this story.
Right.
But it was, you know, in private. You know.
Okay. So I have a chair in Keith's office. Both Keith and I have a chair, and then he has his obvious desk chair for his office at the church. And we were putting our chairs together one day, and, well, I think I had a screw loose, correct?
You had more than one screw loose.
Not mentally, but I had a couple screws loose on my chair, and it was mostly because I didn't pay attention to the directions at all.
Okay, let me, since you brought it up.
Right, I brought it up.
We have these two chairs that we use around our table, our holy table that has all these wonderful knot holes in it.
Very rustic.
I had brought the chairs in. I had unpacked one of them. I had it assembled by the time you got here that morning. And
I was hoping that he'd have mine assembled too.
And no, I wasn't going to do that.
Right.
This was my chair. That was your chair. And so, Zach, you started unpacking that thing and anyway, you got it put together, and I'm sitting in mine, and I look over at yours, and there are screws, essential screws, let me add, that are literally hanging out. They're not just not tightened
screws
all the way.
That if I was to sit in this chair, I would fall down. The chair would break, literally. It would just kind of fold.
It would have, and fortunately, I'm not the kind of guy who was, well, right, actually, I didn't want you to damage the chair. I really wasn't worried about
you. I wasn't cared about you. I was scared about the chair.
But, yeah, that's an example of not following the directions. Hey, Jesus gave one. I love the example that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 7 and beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, sometimes we will sing the song, the wise man built his house on the rock. And the thing that I don't like about that song is that it simply presents the wise man and the foolish man.
Right.
Jesus, in this parable in Matthew 7, explains it a little more than the song does. He says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's the wise man. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them.
Well, and Christianity literally is like following a book of directions. I mean, it is.
It is.
The Bible is your directions that come in the box. You follow what's in the Bible. You live your life by the Bible, and you are a Christian, and you will go to heaven.
So let's talk about building just a little bit. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, because Peter talks about adding things in. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, Peter says this. He says, for this very reason, giving all diligence, he used that same word Another that Paul word. Had there in 2 Timothy 2:15. Like giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So he starts off talking about these things that must be added. Faith, do we have it? More than likely, yes. If you do not have faith and by chance you are listening to our program, certainly we would love to talk to you more about it.
Yes, contact us.
But probably odds are if you're listening to our program,
you have faith.
You have faith. Peter says, wait a minute, that's a great place to start, but you need a little more. And he says you need to add to what you have.
And the next one's virtue.
and he keeps on building. And, you know, I don't want to say that as we look at this, these things that Peter talks about, it's not as though one is any more important than the other, or for that matter, it's not as if they are growing in difficulty as he goes down through verse 7. But if you take a look at your life, and I just want to give this as an example, faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If you look at your life and you say, okay, where am I the weakest? If you just did this, for example,
a self-examination,
and you said, where am I the weakest? And you might say self-control. Just use that as an example. You might say, I'm the weakest in the area of self-control. Maybe I need to work on that a little bit. What can I do to work on that, to add to these other things that I have? I think sometimes we have the tendency to run through this list of things that Peter presents and go, okay, overall, I'm doing pretty good.
Right.
You know.
But if we break it down, we're not.
And here's why that's important. Because we go to verse 8, and Peter says, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So what's abound mean?
Abound?
Abound.
Abound means more and more. It means that you took your cup and you filled it up and it's full to overflowing.
Right.
And Peter says it's not enough to have one or two of these things, or for that matter, to even be strong only in one or two of these areas. I'll just throw out another example. I think brotherly kindness is one that is often overlooked, because we look at it and we say, yeah, brotherly kindness, that's easy. So we don't give any attention to it. We don't purposefully add that in. But Peter used that word diligence. Awareness, attention, action. And that of course, is my definition. That's right. Not the book definition of right. it. But and actually, I just made that up for this lesson this morning. But Peter says, you got to give diligence. You got to have these things, and these things need to abound if you desire to be neither barren. What does barren mean?
Empty.
And unfruitful. You're not producing
right.
anything of any value in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he says in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed of his old sins. Whoa, wait a minute. Peter says if you are missing any one of these things, maybe you are missing knowledge, for example. Maybe you are one of those people, and I know you've got finals this week, as we are talking about finals week, you are preparing for that exam.
Trying to get as much knowledge as can, Keith.
But you are preparing particularly for that exam. And you are at the point in your class now where you're saying, okay, back in chapter two, there were some really good things, but...
You remember day one when we talked about the first part of chapter one?
Yeah, but yeah, you're like, I slept through that class whatever. And I don't
remember this.
I missed some stuff that could really be important, but I know that's not going to be on the test.
Right.
Okay, so... Let me ask you this. When we consider the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as Peter talks about there in verse 11 and in verse 8, what knowledge is not going to be on the test? Ooh, that got pretty deep, didn't it?
It did, very deep.
What knowledge is not going to be on the test? What did you sleep through that you are really going to need?
It honestly be like taking the most comprehensive final of your life.
Absolutely. The most comprehensive. So Peter says, he who lacks these things, whether it's faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance,
whatever
godliness,
he lists,
brotherly kindness, or love.
You ran out.
If you are lacking these things, it's like you're short-sighted.
Yeah.
I started to get way sidetracked there. I think I was going through the store the other day and saw a clarifying shampoo. What is a clarifying shampoo?
I have no idea. I've never seen that.
I mean, you know, to me, if something needs clarifying, it's either unclear,
right.
it's blurry, or it's dingy or dirty. You know,
right.
like water. Well, you know what?
Maybe it's my
hair,
dirty hair.
My hair may be dirty, but my shampoo cleans it. So that leaves me thinking it's out of
focus.
I've never
heard that one. What's this dry shampoo stuff?
We'll save that for later. out of focus,
right.
Short-sighted. Maybe you need some clarifying shampoo to, clear this up for you, because Peter says if you are lacking these things, you can't see as well as you think you can. And then he goes on in verse 10, and we got to wrap this up in a hurry. Wow, where did the time go?
It's always
therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
We've used this verse multiple times.
It's a great verse.
It's a great verse.
Fantastic verse. I love this verse. Guys, we want to thank you for tuning in to our episode today on Some Assembly Required. And there's so much more that we could say, probably should say, and would say if we had more time.
But we don't.
Thank you for tuning in. We want to remind you, go to our Facebook page, iTunes. We didn't mention iTunes.
That's a big one, too.
If you got any questions or comments about the program, my email is keith@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And mine is zach@letstalkaboutchristianity.com.
And we appreciate you, and we will see you next week.